Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 13. And before we pick up with verse 32-33, I want to remind you what we've been reading about, what we've been talking about. At the beginning of that 13th chapter, it opens right up with, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send you men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." And we talked about the fact that it sounds like God had come up with this plan to send the spies ahead to just seek out the best way to get into the promised land and what the land looked like, if it was fat or lean, and that kind of thing. But I want to just take you right to Deuteronomy. If you guys can just jump ahead, please, with me to Deuteronomy. And just look in the first chapter. And I want to just take you right to verse 22. Actually, verse 21. "And behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has said unto you. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me," and this is Moses speaking, "you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. So, and the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe." So with that said, we can see that the men initiated this. God did not initiate spying out the land. The men did. And Moses took it before the Lord and got permission for this to happen. And so they brought back a report. And remember, you know, they brought these grapes. They brought two men holding grapes on a staff. They brought pomegranates, they brought figs, they talked about the cities that surrounded them. And they said, surely it flows with milk and honey. And they showed this is the fruit of it. But if you look at that 28th verse in Numbers chapter 13, it says, "Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there," and they went on and talked about the cities. And then we pick up with verse 31. "But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." In 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land, though through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature." Now, well, excuse me.
First off, not everybody in there was of great stature. But that's what they were focused on. They were focused on the giants, and they just basically focused on opposition of the Achaeans, failing to do what they were really told to do in the first place. Mm-hmm. They're putting their attention on the wrong thing. Now, it's interesting that they say it is a land that flows with milk and honey. So God was right on that point. Isn't that amazing? How people think God's right on one part, but he's wrong on another part. It's the same way today. You know, people think, well, one passage of Scripture is good, but another passage of Scripture passed away, or whatever. And so what they've done is they failed to do what they were supposed to do. In other words, this is a reconnaissance thing. You go in, you search out, you get intelligence on this land, and give us a report of what we're up against, and let's see, get the best strategy to go against them. But what they're saying is, there's no strategy. We go up there, we'll be whipped, and all this.
What's interesting to me is they were to go and bring back in a report, but instead they brought back opinion about whether or not they could do what the Lord told them to do. And this is called an evil report. So make no mistake about it. That word evil, when you look it up, it is just that. It's when we speak against what the Lord has told us to do, it's an evil report.
You understand that what these 12, the report these 12 are bringing back is going to influence what the entire nation does. Will we possess the land, or will we refuse to possess the land because of opposition? 12 men, actually 10,
mm-hmm.
10 men influenced the nation to disobey God. You look at what's been going on here in this nation. A minority has influenced the nation to rebel against God. And a lot of people, they're following the crowd, and they don't even know where the crowd's going. They don't even know what it's about. These are military men. You understand that are going in, these 12 guys, they're military men. And so when they come back and they give their report, I mean, if you're the leader of the army and you tell your soldiers under you, these people are too great for us, you know what it does? It puts fear in the heart to where they don't want to go up and fight against the enemy. But it's interesting that you could come back and say, all right, they have giants, and they have fortified cities. All right, let's get a battle strategy here. How do we take these out? This won't be normal combat that we're involved in, so we'll have to go before God, and God's going to show us how to do this. And I know when I was growing up, being a smaller person, and you know, most of my peers were taller than me. And my daddy used to say, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. And that just sort of branded in me, so size didn't matter. And you have to understand that. If you're agreeing with God, then you're the winner. You're the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Who can go against you? Who can overcome you? If you're doing what God's told you. But they let go of the word. Yet, two of them saw it totally different. They didn't let go of the word. And what are they saying about the same giants, about the same bread for us? They eat their lunch. You understand? It's your perspective. And that perspective comes from your heart. What do you believe? In other words, the King James Version uses the word melt. Oftentimes you see it says their heart melted or heart fainted. In other words, it's just simply saying they lost all their courage. Lost all their courage. You can't go up against these. But if God said you can, you can win. And you have to keep that that mentality. We are well able. That's Caleb's confession.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, we're not able. We are well able to do what God told us to do. And you've got to get that established on the inside of you. When God is still speaking today, you understand? God is still dealing with the hearts of people to do things that your head tells you that you can't do. There's giants, and if you've seen the opposition, and you just say to your head, we are well able because God said so. That sounds simple, but in reality, it is simple. It's just a matter of discipline yourself to keep the flesh under subjection to where you don't listen to the flesh. You don't listen to your eyes. Your eyes will lie to you. Your ears will lie to you. God won't lie to you. Your heart's true. You understand what's going on in your heart. Is God speaking to your heart? Then follow what God's telling you to do. You can do it. I'm living proof of that. You know, where you are tonight, just living proof that God can do what your mind doesn't think you can do. It doesn't look possible, but God makes it possible. It's really incredible when you think about it.
This is so important. We want you to remember this for your test. Here's your question that you'll see on the test. The report of doubt returned by 10 of the spies was categorized by God as an evil report. We want you to remember that word evil, of how God described that report.
And so just remember this, that the mission of these 12 spies was to determine, not to determine, let me rephrase it. They were not sent to determine whether Israel should enter the promised land. That was not their objective. They were sent to confirm the goodness of the land, first off, and to give an intelligence report concerning the enemy. An intelligence report is not saying what you can't and can't do. It's just telling you there's giants and there's fortified cities. That's what an intelligence report is. It's not an advisory committee. You understand? There's a world of difference. And then here again, look what happened. Sending the spies in the land didn't originate with God. It originated with men. And look at the consequence of it. The men coming up with their idea resulted in the whole nation not going in and taking the land that God had given them. I was telling Heather this afternoon, we were looking at this. So oftentimes we want to refer to other people when God speaks something to your heart. And if you know that God said it, then why is it that you need to go to somebody else and ask, what do you think? I remember I was told an instance that happened to me years ago. The Lord had just given me a revelation. I don't even remember what it was about. We were doing a lot of writing back then. And I was just sitting there in the office, and like I normally would, working with stuff, studying, and a friend of mine came in. And he hadn't been there just a few minutes, and he said, what's the Lord showing you? I said, what's interesting? You know, you ask. I said, the Lord has just really opened some things up to me and showed me, and I told him whatever it was. And he said, if you put it before the prophets. And I said, I beg your pardon? He said, you know, you've sought the prophets to see whether or not this is right. I said, listen, if the Spirit of God tells me something, I don't ask anybody if it's right. The sheep know his voice. You understand? So if God said it, I'm not interested in what you think. Is that too hard? It's just true. I'm not interested in what you think. If I know God told me to take the land, I'm not interested in you telling me, well, let's see if we can take the land. No, God wouldn't tell you to take it if you couldn't. And he's never said, go out and try to do this. Think about it. He just says, do it. And so we have to get established in that. Now, as you look at the end of this chapter, it says, compared to what they were seeing with the giant, they said, we were in our own sight like grasshoppers. And so we were to them. Well, how did you know how they were viewing you? Rahab said the hearts of the people fainted in that land. All the land, they've heard about you guys. They've heard what God's done. And they're scared of you. Now, there's a tremendous principle here, a spiritual principle, that will cover all areas of your life. How you see yourself is basically how you're going to become, okay? And so if you see yourself defeated, you'll be defeated. But if you see yourself victorious, you're probably going to end up with the victory. You understand? I was telling Heather, it was back many years ago, there was two football teams, high school teams. And one team always dominated. The other team just couldn't beat that team. In that particular year, the team that always got beat had a far better football team than the team that beat them. But because they went on the field thinking because they'd been beaten the previous years, they were going to be beaten, they were defeated. And there was no reason for them to be defeated. They were defeated in their mind. When you're defeated in your mind, you're whipped. And one of the things you have to learn, even in boot camp and survival training and these type things, it's a mind thing. People think it's a physical. Well, you did this, you did this, you did this. They're trying to break you mentally. And if you'll be like the little train, I think I can. You're not going to break me. People do this all the time. This is a common thing. They have boot camp all the time. And so if the average Joe can do it, then I can do it. Your body may be screaming at you, but you just say, I can do it. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to give in. Surrender's not in my vocabulary. And so we're going to do it. You know what happens? You do it. Even the people that would just swear they couldn't do it before they went in, if they get their mind right and get determined, they go through it. I promise you, I've done things that my head told me you can't do. But I learned that you can do it if you'll whip it in your mind, then whip it. You can overcome it. But you have to overcome it in your thinking first. They let your thinking go in the wrong direction. You think you're a grasshopper, then you're going to hop around. You're going to be a grasshopper. But if you think, that guy's preparing dinner for me, and I'm going to wear him out and eat my lunch, or dinner, whatever, you'll do it. This is what Caleb was saying. This is what Joshua was saying. When Caleb says they're bread for us, no. They're not going to defeat us. We're going to defeat them. Let's go up. Let's go up immediately, is what he's saying. Let's not waste any time. Let's take the territory. We already wasted 40 days. Let's go up and take the territory. You got to get these things settled in the inside of you. Otherwise, you walk around defeated. You know, I deal with things constantly in people. You understand? Hearing what people are, their situations, their problems, the things that's wearing them out, that's holding them captive. They're captives. They're in prison, and they don't even know they're in prison. They're captured in their thinking, and past things have held them captive. And they don't come out of it because their thinking won't let them come out of it. They just always see themselves defeated. You know, well, you know, I've always been told I can't do this, or I was abused here, and this happened here, and I was grew up in the wrong house and the wrong environment, and you just don't know what my past was. What difference does it make? This is not your past. This is today. What does God say about you? Have you been born again? Then whom the Son sets free is free. Why do you want to stay in captivity to the past? Don't live in the past. You live in the now. You don't live in the future. You live in the now. Some people are living hoping they can get out of here and go to heaven. Well, why not be productive here on earth? Why not live a victorious life now instead of keeping it out in front of you? One of these days, one of these days, one of these days. You got to get control of your thoughts. Capture any thought that's not in agreement with God. These men were saying things that was not in agreement with God. And if it's not in agreement with God, you're saying things that's not in agreement with God, you're giving an evil report. If God says, do it, and you say, I can't, you're giving an evil report. And it's detrimental. Just like it was detrimental to them. You got to have more grasshopper faith. I can promise you that. You better have an overcoming faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is what Paul said. Are you going to tell me you've had a harder day than him? Look at all the things he went through, but he never had a defeatist attitude in any of it. As a matter of fact, when he gets to the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished the course, and I kept the faith. Boy, they didn't. They didn't want to fight the fight. They didn't want to finish the course. I'll get it out in a minute. And obviously, they didn't keep the faith, except for two. Now, the interesting thing about this is those two did exactly what they thought they could do. They went in the land. Caleb tells Joshua, Moses said I could have this. I walked on it. He said I could have it. Now, give me that city of giants. Wear them out. He did, didn't he? He took it. Why? Had the giants lost their power? No. They didn't have any more power the day one than they did then. They didn't lose any power from day one till then. What's the difference? Knowing you can do it because God said so. So you pay attention to what God says to you and don't speak against it. And don't put out your fleeces and all this kind of stuff. Don't look for a sign. What did Jesus say? Adulterous generation looking for a sign. Did God say it? Well, that's all the sign you need. His word. Mm-hmm. He's good for his word. That word has impregnated in it the ability to bring it to pass. The word of his power. The power speaks the word. So what's back in the word? The power of God. You've got to get established in you. They didn't. These were murmurers and complainers. These were fault finders. Church is full of them. Don't you be one of them. Amen.
Amen. The other thing we talked about this afternoon was when the Lord speaks something to you, keeping yourself built up on your most holy faith. We could say praying in the Spirit, but talking to ourselves, reminding ourselves of what the Lord has told us to do, and sticking with that, keeping the Word of God before us, what He's spoken to our heart. You think about Caleb and Jacob.
Joshua,
thank you. There was another 40 years before. I mean, they waited.
They had to walk around with that rebellious bunch of people. But they kept the faith.
That's good, isn't it?
You know, they went into the land. You think about this. What did God tell Joshua after Moses died? Don't let that word stop coming out of your mouth.
Right.
But you meditate on it day and night. You observe it. You put it into practice. And see, this is what we have to learn to do, is you keep the word before you. The psalmist said, Proverbs, Book of Wisdom, okay? My son, attend to my words, incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them before your eyes all the time. He says they're life for those that find them. Health to all ye flesh. And then he says, you guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of your heart is the forces, issues, forces. That's your strength. Your heart is your strength.
Yeah.
It's not how strong you are physically. How strong are you spiritually? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They were weak spiritually, if you want to look at these 10 men. They're very weak spiritually. Joshua and Caleb, very strong spiritually. We can, we will. And you have to keep that type of mentality. How can you do it? You keep the word of God before you.
Mm-hmm.
God said, go in and possess the land. Well, cities. God said, go in and possess the land. Giants. God said, go in and possess the land. God didn't tell me that I couldn't take the walled city. God didn't tell me I couldn't defeat the giant. Now you look at this. The first encounter they have when they went into the promised land, second generation, under Joshua's leadership, was a walled city. So what do? Get the strategy of God. Naturally speaking, you can't take that walled city. So God says, walk around it. One time for 6 days.
Yeah.
Just walk around it. Don't anybody say a word. The seventh day, go out there and walk around it 7 times. And when you hear the priest sound with the trumpets, everybody shout. Well, now that's an unusual way of breaking the walls down of the city. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah.
But did they come down?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, God has the strategy. And so these men were not sent in to map out a strategy of possibility or impossibility. God gives us the strategy. And you follow the Spirit of God and the walls fall. The giants fall. Look at David and Goliath. What does Saul say about him? You can't go up against him. Man, this guy's been a warrior from his youth, and you just a youth. You can't go up against that. But where's David's eyes fixed? On God. He's defying God. When he defies the armies of God, he's defying God. No. I already know what God can do through the bear and through the lion. This giant's going to be just like that. I don't need your sword. I don't need your spear. I don't need your armor. I need the weapon that I am familiar with. I'll just take my little shepherd bag and sling. I'll pick me up some stones on the way. And what does he tell to the giant? I'm going to take your head off. He didn't even have a sword. Well, use the enemy's weapon against him. And that's exactly what David did. He took Goliath's head off of Goliath's own sword. But his mind, his eyes, his heart was fixed on God. He wasn't looking at some huge monster. He's looking at a God who brought all this into existence. God's bigger than he is. What happened? who could win the victory. Now, you can look at that as a Bible story, or you can look at that as a Bible truth that's teaching you a principle not to look at the circumstance. But you look at the God who can handle any and all circumstances. Don't fix your eyes on the storm. You focus on the one who calms storms. And he'll calm it on the inside of you. You get a peace in the midst, and I mean, I'm a witness of this. You get a peace that you can't explain when your head is telling you you should not be at peace. But you have a peace. If you stay fixed on the Lord, Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace, complete peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. They didn't trust God. These 10 spies didn't trust God, and they influenced the whole army not to trust God. So if you're not trusting God, what are you looking at? Can we do it in our strength?
Right.
No, you can't do it in your strength. Quit trying to do it in your strength. This is what wears ministers out. They try to do it in their strength. You can't do it in your strength. You can't bear the burdens of the people. You're not told to bear the burdens of the people. You cast your care on him. You hear it and you take it to the Lord. You don't try to carry that around. It'll wear you out. If you want to help people, you have to stay focused on the Lord.
That's good.
Don't lead them in the ditch. Don't give them an evil report. Don't stroke their flesh. Speak to the spirit. What's your problem? Well, you know, I had a rough life. Who didn't? It's just from different perspectives. What about now? What are you doing now? Thinking about what happened then? Well, you're not going to go forward looking backwards? Do you want out of this hole? And stop looking down. Is that too hard? That's the only way you're going to get out of the hole. You got to look at it. You have to look at it.
Excellent. We're going to want you to remember that according to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, the 12 spies of Numbers chapter 13 who went into the promised land were sent because the people desired to do so. And your key word there is people.
Now, with that, let me just say, God can give you the desire of the heart and send leanness to your soul. Never read it? You could desire something, but is that what God says? You have to do what God says. Don't say, well, let's see if what God said will work. I've had ministers to tell me to my face, I'm going to go over here and do such and such a thing. And if it works, I'll know it's God. Well, that don't want to hunt with me, okay? If I know it's God, I'm not going to go try, I'm going to go do. And I don't need to be over there testing anything. I need to be over there doing what I'm told to do. And you got to get that mentality. God doesn't try anything. So why are we trying things to see if this works, that works, if it doesn't work, or whatever? No, get your information first. And then once you have the information established on the inside of you, then do what you know to do. It'll work. But make sure your information comes from God, not people.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how I've missed it in the past, where I've heard the Lord say something to me, giving me a directive to do something. I knew it was the Lord speaking to me, but I stopped right there listening to the Lord, and I tried to figure it out with my own rationalization how it was going to come to pass, and that's where I miss it. Where if he, I have to trust in him fully. If he's given the direction to go and possess the land, it's not up to them to determine the strategy. The Lord will give it to them. They just have to be sensitive, just like the example with Jericho that we just listened about. Okay, thank you. We have to fully trust in the Lord with our whole heart. So, and this whole notion of how we view ourselves, if we view ourselves as grasshoppers, we'll be grasshoppers. If you view yourself as unrighteous, you're unrighteous. If you don't have complete faith in Jesus Christ that he's your righteousness, that he's made you righteous.
Righteousness is by faith.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't think you have it, guess what? You don't.
Mm-hmm. Something to think about. Well, we'll stop right here, and then when we come back, we'll see if we'll pick up in chapter 14 together.
Okay.